come to order, or I will name them one by one.
While the Premier was trying to justify overriding the charter so that he could continue his vendetta against the voters of Toronto, the Premier stated that he, and only he, had the right to decide what was best for Ontario.
The people will decide in 4 years. The people will decide in 4 years, and I'll tell you who won't decide. A politically appointed judge by one person.
I certainly never imagined that in the dying days of summer of 2018, we would find ourselves in a constitutional crisis in Toronto and the province of Ontario. Who would have? Well, there's been a good deal of reporting, I think, in the mainstream mass media news that frames the situation as amounting to a constitutional crisis. I'm concerned about what I perceive as a lack of talk that considers this perilous. Talk radio in Toronto and really most of Canada and the U.S. tends to lean to the right politically, but I think that does not make it wise for talk radio in Toronto to portray what's happening here as simply an elected government using the tools available to get the job done. Not at all. I'm Paul Cross. This is Cross Talk. A panelist speaking on the radio in Toronto the morning after suggests the use of the notwithstanding clause of the Charter of Rights and Freedoms to enact the Ontario government's legislation affecting municipal electoral boundaries inside the city of Toronto is not really such a big deal. I think that's a dangerous and not well-informed position. I think it's a very big deal. In the case at hand, the Premier of the province, who's been in office for just a few weeks, wants to pass legislation reducing the number of city councillors in Toronto. The province has jurisdiction to do that through the City of Toronto Act and under the Constitution. But when the bill to enact the change was introduced and passed in the opening days of the new government's term, the 2018 municipal election period was already underway. Candidates had already been filing nomination papers to seek election in the existing 47-seat system designed through a period of local consultation and study. Voters were already being offered choices in the upcoming election. The new government at Queen's Park steps in saying, no, Toronto will have 25 councillors, elected in areas matching up with the provincial and federal electoral ridings. So, a local candidate who had filed his papers under the 47-seat nomination period and the City of Toronto file notice of a lawsuit. They take the province to court, complaining a higher level of government cannot justifiably do this when the election is already underway. Justice Edward Bellababa of the Ontario Supreme Court agrees. The Ontario government is clearly crossing a line here, he says in his ruling. The government cannot make the change in this way because it violates the constitutional rights of the people affected. Specifically, it infringes on the rights to freedom of expression under Section 2B of the Charter of Rights and Freedoms. The right to freedom of expression is held dearly. As it exists in the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms, it's almost unique, because we cannot use our right to freedom or expression to harm someone else. It's a really important Canadian value, and it's what the Charter calls a fundamental freedom. That point is certainly not lost on Toronto Mayor John Tory.
You have to ask yourself, why does this particular change, the size of Toronto's City Council, at this particular time, in the middle of an election, qualify as one of those very extraordinary circumstances?
The Premier, in my view, shows contempt for the judge's ruling, although he claims to have respect for judges in the courts.
Let me tell you something. I was elected. The judge was appointed. It was appointed by one person, Dalton McGuinty. I was elected by 2.3 million people.
Of course, Ford did not win a majority in Toronto. And he's the Premier for all of Ontario, about 13 million people, not just for those who voted for candidates in his party. In a party system like Ontario's, it's simply not right for the leader to claim people voted for him. Why now, he's asked on the radio? Why Toronto? Why did you not suggest this as a priority during your own election campaign? Oh, I did. Several times, he claims. I said I would reduce the size and cost of government. I see. Clearly, voters are to blame. We did not understand that when Doug Ford was saying he would make government smaller and less expensive and more efficient, he was referring to the local city government in Toronto, home to about one-fifth of the province's population. And, of course, he follows on the radio and in the news conference with a diatribe against the current mayor of Toronto, the one who beat him in the last municipal election, the one elected by the people of Toronto after years of embarrassment and humiliation under the mayoralty of his brother Rob. It's not hard to surmise this is a premier on a vendetta against the city that didn't want him as mayor, the city that does not support him as premier.
In fact, the only people who are fighting this move are a small group of left-wing councillors, those looking to continue their free ride on the backs of the taxpayers of this great city, along with a network of activist groups they've entrenched themselves in the power under the status quo over the years.
But motive and discrediting the opposition aside, back to the process. Justice Bellababa says you can't do it this way. What are the Premier's options? If he feels strongly that his plans and approach are correct, he can appeal the court ruling. If he feels the plans are correct, he could follow the ruling, wait until after the election, reintroduce his bill, and have it enacted to take effect for the next time there's a municipal election. But what does he do? He invokes a significant and rare provision of the Charter of Rights and Freedoms, Section 33, the Notwithstanding Clause, the paragraph that says a government can enact a law even if it infringes on constitutional rights. He makes his Attorney General, the daughter of a former Prime Minister who came into office when the Constitution was almost brand new, reintroduce his bill with that constitutional clause built in, and he appeals the court ruling. It's a very big deal. Section 33's intent is to allow a temporary abrogation of our rights for no more than 5 years. And if the offending law is still seen as necessary after 5 years, it's supposed to be formally extended. Why do we have that clause in the Charter? Why is it there at all? What's it intended for? The government of Pierre Trudeau had committed to getting Canada its own constitution, to get the country out from the shadow of the United Kingdom, to replace the British North America Act of 1867 with a made-in-Canada constitution and charter of rights. Under the Canada Act and the Charter of Rights and Freedoms, no law is valid if it does not stand the constitutional test. Does this law comply with the Charter of Rights and Freedoms? Some of the provinces had concerns at the time, Saskatchewan and Alberta among them. Quebec likely would not have agreed to sign on for a new constitution if it did not have a constitutional guarantee that it could act to protect its interests or needs, perceived or otherwise, of its unique, distinct society. So, we get the notwithstanding clause with that confusing, unclear name. For short, Section 33. The section says that in essence that a government can choose to enact a law even if it does infringe on constitutional rights. That government can break the glass, use the big hammer, trigger the escape hatch. The government can say, yes, this law infringes on the constitutional rights of some of the people it will affect, but this issue is of such critical importance we will go ahead knowing we are violating constitutional rights. Does Doug Ford's obsession with the function and size of City Council in Toronto meet that kind of critical importance? I find that hard to think. Is his use of Section 33 a big deal? It sure is. Does it affect people other than those in Toronto who challenge his Better Local Government Act? It sure does, because everyone in the province of Ontario has been served notice. You have a premier who says, if I want to do something that courts tell me is an infringement of your constitutional rights, I'll do it anyway. Talk radio is really missing the point here, I think. This story is not about the size of City Council in Toronto now. Canadian Public Radio and Toronto Local Talk Radio are both too soft on the real issues, I think. The trampling of constitutional rights for a minor point. And public radio news and local commercial radio news have both shown, inadvertently I'm sure, a pro-government bias in some versions of their story by reporting that during the protests in the legislature, the Speaker had to clear the gallery. The Speaker chose to clear the gallery. Doug Ford seems to think he has found his equivalent of an executive order, Section 33. And here's a new, inexperienced premier saying, I'll do the things I want to do, and I will violate your constitutional rights if that's what it takes. I would do it again. Yes, it's a very big deal. This is Cross Talk. I'm Paul Cross. I study and I teach radio.